Take your Wi-Fi further with wall-to-wall Wi-Fi from Xfinity. With fast speeds and reliable coverage, home just got even sweeter with the Xfinity 10G network. Restrictions apply. Not available in all areas. Actual speeds vary.
From KQED.
From KQED in San Francisco, I'm Alexis Madrigal. It's been a while since we had a real summer, no? Here in the Bay Area, where we've taken COVID seriously, the last two summers were not normal. This year, well, it remains to be seen. COVID cases are rising again right as students are approaching the end of the school year. And the inflation, whew. Bought some airline tickets recently, and let me tell you, the sticker shock is real. Gas prices are up too, so we're talking this morning about summer travel. Did you plan a summer of travel? Are you going to follow through with it? That's all coming up next. Welcome to Forum. I'm Alexis Madrigal. During that first pandemic summer, my family did something we've never done. My wife and I packed our kids into a big camper van and camped our way to my in-laws' house in Colorado. We absolutely loved it, and it felt like we'd learned something new about how we liked to vacation. The pandemic, I think, changed the way that many of us understood travel, but are those things going to stick? As we approach summer, we're joined this morning by a panel of expert travelers, and we hope to hear from you about your summer travel plans, or maybe the lack thereof. Joining us to talk travel are Don Gilbertson, travel columnist at The Wall Street Journal. Welcome, Don.
Good morning.
We're also joined by Janine Romo, travel blogger and co-host of the Oh My Travel podcast. Welcome, Janine.
Thank you.
And Ashley Anadelli, a travel writer and family travel advocate at The Points Guy. Welcome.
Thank you.
Ashley, maybe let's start with you. We're going to kind of go around the horn here. We want to hear about your most memorable summer trip from this kind of past couple years of pandemic weirdness.
Oh, gosh. In the summertime. Oh, gosh. We kind of done our trips on either end of the summer. So we were lucky enough to go to New Orleans late last May, which was amazing. Funny story, my daughter is only 2.5, but we were practicing her wearing a mask in the off chance that we could get on a plane last summer. So she did really, really well, actually, with her mask. And my son is 4, so he did really well. And it was a fantastic trip. Being able to be outside, and New Orleans is one of my favorite cities, share that with my kids. Yeah, getting to share that with my kids despite the pandemic, and we were all able to still stay safe. It was an awesome trip.
That's great. Don Gilbertson, how about you? Favorite summer trip during this kind of pandemic period?
I don't know if it was my favorite, but probably one of the strangest was in 2020. So, the first several months, my sister lives in New Orleans and I flew to see her. I was flying around a lot for work just to see what it was like, and made one of the stops there. And I just remember riding bikes. She lives in Metairie, and riding bikes in the rain from her house to the French Quarter. Mm. And, so this was probably June or July when people, in some parts of the country were traveling again, and it was absolutely dead. I mean, Not like literally
not a soul in sight. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, the bars were open, but it was, that's kind of one of the most enduring memories of how dead things were at the mm-hmm. time, for sure.
Yeah. If you can shut down the French Quarter, that's pretty powerful. And how about you, Janine Romo?
Oh, man, so many good trips. I guess one of my most memorable was a road trip up the California coast and going up to Monterey, Big Sur, Carmel, went to Point Lobos State Park, which was really nice. It was just a really good time. And again, being outdoors during the pandemic was the go-to for so many people. And California does not disappoint in the outdoors.
We're talking about the summer travel season this year, whether it's, you know, a regular old, you know, car trip to visit cousins or grandparents or grandkids, or fancy vacation somewhere special. We'd love to hear from you about what you have planned this summer. Our phone number here is 866-733-6786. That's 866-733-6786. Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, you know them, it's KQED Forum, and the email's forum@kqed.org. We're, of course, joined by Don Gilbertson, a travel columnist at The Journal, Janine Romo, a travel blogger and co-host of the Oh My Travel podcast, and Ashley Onadelli, a travel writer and family travel advocate at The Point Sky. Don Gilbertson, let's talk a little bit the big picture travel summer this year. The tickets are super expensive every time I've looked to go anywhere. Is that just like I'm expecting that because I've been hearing about inflation, or are tickets really that expensive?
Tickets are really that expensive. I mean, you know, tickets are expensive when you have airline executives pretty much gushing about ticket prices in their own jargon, of course, on their quarterly earnings conference calls. I mean, executive after executive after executive has just mentioned how excited they are about travel demand roaring back and the pricing power that gives them.
Mm. And I mean, what are we talking? Like, is this a 10% increase? Is it a 50% increase?
Well, year over year, according to the latest CPI data, it was, you know, 33% unadjusted, but there was like almost a 20% jump between, I want to say, March and April. So, I mean, just to give you some examples, you know, especially in your neck of the woods, you know, I was pricing yesterday a flight from San Francisco to New York in middle of the summer, July, and the cheapest, and I mean the cheapest, we're not talking the prime time, I was seeing for these particular dates was north of $800 round trip.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, I was looking at visiting family this summer up in Portland, Oregon, you know, $500 to $800. I mean, that's an expensive flight to go that far, you know? I mean, it's a 2-hour flight. How did the, you know, one question I've had throughout this whole time as travel has been coming back is we know that the airlines kind of reshaped their flight networks, right, in response to the pandemic lows. Have things snapped back to normal, or did flights kind of go different places now than they did before?
Well, there are several angles to that. So some airlines, you know, are back to pre-pandemic levels in terms of their flight schedules. Others, like United, for instance, they keep harping on the fact that they haven't brought back all of their capacity because they want to make sure the system can handle it, you know, and they don't have to cancel a bunch of flights. That was a huge problem, as anybody who traveled over spring break or the year-end holidays last year know. In terms of destinations and so forth, I mean, I think one thing I for sure noticed is a lot fewer nonstop flights, at least mm-hmm. to a lot of the places I like to go. So that requires connections, you know, kind of takes a longer day for you. You know, Southwest Airlines added 18 cities during the pandemic. They still have all those. So we haven't really seen a pullback, you know, in all those leisure destinations in most cases, though there are some pilot issues that are affecting smaller communities.
Interesting. Janine, what's your take on how people are returning to travel at this stage in the pandemic?
People are ready to travel. They are out. They want to do it. Of course, as you and Don mentioned, flight prices are skyrocketing. They've been high. They are high. Guests as well. But people are trying to figure out how can they still travel. We've all been cooped up in our houses for the last 2 years, and we're just ready to go anywhere, whatever the budget allows. So I see people just, you know, catching up on their international travel, wanting to get out, you know, even that they're driving, you know, 2, 3, 4 hours from home. Everyone's ready for this.
Well, and I think for me, I just can't believe I'm actually getting on the plane until I'm like sitting in my seat. You know, it's just like it was. I feel like this period of travel required so much more flexibility than I was used to. You know, you just had to be ready. Okay, there's a surge in the place where you're going. Okay, we're actually not going to go. Okay, someone got COVID. We're not going to go. And I feel like it made all this travel seem a little more precious and also a little more contingent. I want to take our first call, Nicole in Sausalito. Welcome.
Hi, thanks. This is a great topic. My husband's actually a commercial airline pilot, so I'm seeing it kind of from the internal side, and he's been busier than he's ever been in his entire 25-plus year career at the airlines. Wow. We are actually celebrating our 25th anniversary and doing the big trip to Bora Bora this summer.
Oh, my gosh. How's that feel? Is this your first big trip? I mean, obviously, your husband's been flying around. But...
No. Yeah, first big trip for me. I mean, we actually flew during the pandemic when there were four people on a 777, and we were two of them, which was pretty wild also. But, yeah, I'm excited. I mean, looking at the, you know, astronomical inflationary prices over there is pretty shocking. But we feel like, let's do it. We're healthy and, you know, sort of celebrate, you know, being alive. So.
Oh, man. Well, have a great 25th anniversary in Bora Bora. I am I'm jealous. I'm also putting that on my list. That's, you know, give my wife and I 15 more years. We'll get out there. Thanks so much. Thanks so much, Nicole.
Yeah, thanks for the talk.
I actually wanted to ask you if you want to discuss some of the common mistakes that people make when they're traveling during this period.
Gosh, mistakes. I would say not utilizing the different resources available to folks, especially when it comes to the pricing of travel right now. Not only is airfare astronomical, but hotel prices are also out of control as well. Something that I go to is points and miles. You can get points and miles so many different ways, but that really offsets the cost of travel for you. And there's ways to pay part cash and part miles. I think that's something that people leave on the table. They may not sign up for the right loyalty programs, if no loyalty program at all when staying at a particular hotel.
Ashley, I'm totally that person and I feel guilty.
Oh, no, you have to do it. I mean, as you know, you said that you have kids and as a family of four, it just travel wouldn't be tangible for us at this point without points and miles, honestly.
Oh, man. We may need to come back to that after the break because I think I need a first step, you know, like I have, you know, we have Southwest, you know, rewards. I have Hertz, whatever, but I feel like I have left a lot of that on the table. We're talking about summer travel season this year with Ashley Onadeli, a travel writer and family travel advocate at The Points Guy, Janine Romo, a travel blogger and co-host of the Oh My Travel podcast, and Don Gilbertson, a travel columnist at the Wall Street Journal. Part of what inspired this show is just thinking about summertime and whether we're actually going to have what for a lot of people is a normal part of summer, travel to see family, travel to see new places. And we want to know from you, have you planned a regular summer of travel for your family? Fancy vacations, car trips? Are you doing something different this year? Give us a call. 866-733-6786. That's 866-733-6786. You can get in touch Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, or KQED Forum, or you can email your questions and your comments to forum@kqed.org. I'm Alexis Madrigal. Stay tuned for more after the break.
Support for Forum is sponsored by Stanford's Master of Liberal Arts program. Have you found yourself reflecting on your life and education? Perhaps you think it's too late or you're too busy to earn a master's degree. Stanford's part-time MLA program is designed for anyone, from recent college grads to retirees, who'd like to pursue an interdisciplinary course of study in the liberal arts. MLA students also enjoy access to the world-class facilities on the Stanford campus. Information session held May 16th. Learn more at mla.stanford.edu.
Welcome back to Forum. I'm Alexis Madrigal. We're talking about summer travel season. Let's bring in Chris from Vallejo.
Good morning. There's so many great local things. One of the most beautiful places, I think, in all of California and all the world is Mendocino County. Mendocino is gorgeous. It's a quick drive from the Bay Area. They have award-winning wineries up there, and they have something that that's new to California. There's cannabis farm tourism up there. You can actually go and do a weed and wine tour, go wine tasting, visit cannabis farms. It's a totally new experience, and it's so close to the Bay Area.
That's such a good point. I mean, I just want to give two individual location shout-outs in Mendocino County. One is the Boonville Hotel. That place is amazing, and Boonville in general. And the other is Hendy Woods State Park. If you haven't been up there and seen those redwoods and read about the legend of the Hermit of Hendy Woods, that is one of the most fun things to do with kids. It's just like, it's an instantly magical place. That's such a great point, Chris. And Janine, do you have places on the other end of the spectrum, places that maybe you might avoid this summer?
Oh, that's a great question. I would avoid big national parks like Yosemite, simply because right now they have a reservation system. So if you've had your heart set on Yosemite, you don't have reservations, try looking elsewhere. We have so many beautiful other national parks, other state parks. And as you mentioned, there's some really cool, like more underrated state parks. I would avoid even places like Santa Barbara, Solvang on the weekends, Ojai on the weekends. Those places are just so packed, and they're kind of just the go-to for a lot of people. Mm-hmm. So if you want more, you know, just a better experience, I would just avoid those, you know, high crowded areas.
Ashley Onadele, let me ask you about a controversial one in my family, at least, which is Lake Tahoe during the summertime. What do you think?
You know, I've never been to Lake Tahoe in the summer. I've been in the fall. It was awesome. But I've been playing around with going to Watsonville, which is just 30 minutes outside of Monterey. I went there many years ago on a spring break with my family. And you can rent a condo on the beach and basically have the beach to yourself because no one's going to Watsonville. I'm thinking about doing that. It's also very cost effective, and Airbnb, you know, give or take, some of them are not. But it'll be an opportunity for us to get back to the ocean and to the coast without spending a ton of money.
Yeah. Starting to get some comments in from listeners as well. Sue writes, Las Vegas used to be a cheap destination. Cheap flights, cheap hotels. They figured you would spend your money on gambling. Not now. We have children and grandchildren in Henderson, Nevada. We're going to fly down to see them. Flights were $400 each from San Jose, from SFO or SJC, and hotel rooms are at least $300 a night. We're going to drive instead and stay with our son. Don Gilbertson, travel columnist with the Wall Street Journal. Vegas is another big destination, obviously, for people around here, being close by, home of our football team, the Raiders. And I wanted to ask you about how you approach a Vegas trip at this point.
For this summer? Yeah, I mean, everybody thinks, you know, Vegas in the summer because it's hot as it can possibly be. I live in Phoenix, so I'm very used to that weather. How would I approach it? I would definitely
don't
avoid
go.
The weekends. No. I mean, I just got back from about a month ago. In my last job, we did a story on 10 Las Vegas pool parties. So a colleague and I visited all 10 of them.
You definitely have one of the worst jobs in journalism. I was just thinking
I
that.
I do.
Definitely thinking that.
But like it was super crowded then. So in terms of money saving strategies for Vegas, I mean, it's just kind of the usual recommendations of, you know, go during the week. I have friends who are there right now during the week. And yes, prices in general are up. But, you know, there's so many choices in Vegas, you know, up and down the strip, off the strip. The Palms just reopened. There's compared with a lot of other destinations, at least you have a wide variety of accommodations. So, you know, say you go on a Tuesday to a Thursday or Friday or Tuesday, you know, depending how long you want to go, and then just, you know, then come go home, whether you're driving or flying, when everybody else is flying in for that packed weekend.
Sure. Let's bring in another caller, Francisco in San Jose. Welcome.
Good morning. Hi.
Good morning.
Yes. Yeah. I just wanted to say, you know, we were stuck for, you know, so long with this pandemic thing going on. So we didn't, you know, nobody went out other than, you know, taking a walk to the park. But now my family, we took a trip back in March to Mexico, Guadalajara. I'm from there. I was born there, but they brought me here as a little kid. But not only that, we just planned two more trips for this year. We already bought a ticket for August to go back to my hometown where I was born. And then when we come back in November, we'll be traveling to my wife's hometown in Acapulco, Guerrero. It's a port area. And we're just so happy that we're actually able to do that now. And I hope that, you know, we keep doing it every year.
Oh, man, that's fun. So when you go back to Guadalajara, that's my dad's family is from there, from Jalisco. And what do you do when you go there?
I was born in Jalisco, so I'm from a little town. We call it a little rancho, like a little ranch. Mm-hmm. So I do a lot of horseback riding. I get involved, you know, we go to the mountains, carne asada, we'll take a trip to Puerto Vallarta, just local things in the area that we get into, and of course, you know, be with the family that's out there. But it's fun. It's my first, my kid's 4 years old, and it was his first family trip. He loved it. And ever since he's been asking me to go back, you know, he made little friends out there. So he loved it. We loved it. And we felt safe in my hometown. So we're going back in August. And again, in November, we'll be going to my wife's hometown in Guerrero, Acapulco.
Oh, man. That's great. I love that. And I have been meaning to go back there forever. I haven't been back there since a wedding when I was like a little kid. So that's awesome. And Francisco in San Jose, thank you so much for that call. You know, Don, Visit California projects that spending on tourism will kind of return to pre-pandemic levels next year. It seems like things are already still crowded. Does that mean we're going to get kind of a bounce back and kind of an overshoot even in having like traveling way more than we did even before the pandemic?
There's a lot of evidence of that. You know, people that didn't travel for a couple of years now maybe taking longer trips or more frequent trips, you know, if this summer is back to normal as so many, or relatively normal as so many people expect. You just have to survey your friends to see all the trips they have planned. Again, so, you know, last summer, by the way, was slow. I mean, last summer travel really started to bounce back. What's changed this year and what's going to create crowds are, you know, the international travelers are back from most places, due to the lifting of restrictions. So, you know, you're going to see crowds in places, you know, bigger crowds in places versus a year ago. I was just in Times Square and oh my gosh, a Tuesday night earlier this week, it was exactly like it was pre-pandemic.
Wow. Yeah. It sounds like, you know, I think in the Bay, if you haven't been outside of the Bay recently, a lot of the rest of the country, the pandemic is not being considered in many places, or there's no mask, things seem fully back. And I think in the Bay Area, people are still keeping public health in mind as they go about their lives and try and return to some kind of sense of normalcy in this trans-pandemic period. Let's bring in Denise from San Francisco. Hi, Denise. Can you hear us?
Oh, hi. Hey. This is Denise.
Hey, Denise, you're on. Go ahead.
I want to say I'm really frustrated and disappointed. You know, when I hear travel agents, travel advocates, telling us to travel when many of us can't even afford to do that. And I mind my climate change footprints. Mm-hmm. We're, you know, in a climate crisis. And so I crossed off destinations that used to be on my list of destinations. I don't even, it's not worth it because of the climate crisis. And Greta Thunberg proved that. She wouldn't even get on an airplane to travel across the Atlantic or whatever. And,
it's a good point,
I have
Denise.
A question.
Yeah. Oh, go ahead.
How do you manage your climate change footprints?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is a really good question. And one of my friends has gone to a lot of train travel. We know that train travel is pretty efficient in that way. And we had the author Jennifer Egan on the show recently, who said that for her book tours, she's going all to train travel. Janine Romo, have you explored taking trains, or any of the other guests jump in if this is, you know, if you're a train person, get in there.
I have not done a whole lot of train travel within the US or within California even, but embracing slow travel is definitely one way to reduce your carbon footprint. We are obviously in a climate crisis, and I do want to acknowledge that. Prior to the pandemic, I was traveling a lot more internationally, and during the pandemic, that had to shift. And because
what do you mean by slow travel? Like, what is
slower travel? Like, you know, going to a destination and spending more time there opposed to bouncing around, or you know, just taking a long trip, you know, a long road trip, and you know, just going straight back down. Just taking things a little bit slower, not going as far, or like once you're in a destination, staying there for a little bit longer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think that's something that a lot of people can do with remote work. If, you know, the pandemic kind of shift things and how people work from home. So that's an option. If that's an option for people, they should consider it.
No, I totally agree. That seems to be... That was one of the big lessons for me in taking this camper van across the country, was it was much, much slower than flying. But we also got to see all these places we would have never seen. We got to take our time with that trip and together as a family. And it really, you can see the appeal of it. I just wonder if, as life feels like the speed is returning back to what it was, whether we're able to maintain some of those lessons that we thought we learned. We are talking summer travel season this year with Janine Romo, a travel blogger and co-host of the Oh My Travel podcast, Ashley Onadelli, travel writer and family travel advocate at The Points Guy, and Don Gilbertson, a travel columnist at The Wall Street Journal. And we would love to hear from you. Have you planned a regular summer of travel for your family, whether, you know, fancy vacations or something you put off, or just, you know, car trip to visit cousins in Henderson, Nevada? Are you doing something different? Give us a call, 866-733-6786. That's 866-733-6786. Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram, KQED Forum. The email is forum@kqed.org. And again, the number is 866-733-6786. Don, this is coming to you. One of our listeners, Bill, writes, I'm wondering how you can do a segment celebrating people getting in their cars and on airplanes without, at a minimum, mentioning the fact that we live in an age of global warming and maybe people should not be traveling so much, or perhaps mentioning reputable carbon offset options. Love for you to discuss how you've thought about that, and you know, if you've been able to address it in some of your work as a travel writer.
I haven't done a whole lot on that, but I will tell you, I just spent over an hour with the CEO of United Airlines earlier this week in New York. And, you know, United has been doing a lot on the environmental front. And I will tell you that he says carbon, Scott Kirby is his name, carbon offsets, he calls them a fraud. He said the future is in sustainable aviation fuel, and they're making investments there. So it's a pretty tough topic.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a pretty tough issue to fix overnight, you know, in an industry that buys jet fuel by the, you know, plane load.
Right. I mean, it's, you know, one thought that always occurs to me is how difficult it's been to build high-speed rail networks in the United States versus in other places. You can travel in China or Europe on rail very easily, and that has a major impact on the climate or friendliness of your travel. Let's bring in Lynn from Menlo Park.
Hello.
Hi, Lynn. Can you hear me? Yeah.
Oh, hi. So in, 2019, after I retired, my husband and I bought an Airstream camper, And for the last 3 years, we have been volunteering at national parks as camp hosts. And it's allowed us to not only give back to the park system, but we've been able to enjoy the outdoors all during COVID and educate campers about camping because we've had a lot of new campers out.
Oh, wow. So what do you do? Like, what is a camp host? I haven't heard of this.
Oh, so so we've been up to Mount Rainier, North Cascade National Park, and also San Juan National Historic Park. And they give you a campsite with full hookup. So we have electric water and sewer. And we're there all day and into the early evening helping campers check in, answering questions about the national parks, where the best hikes are. We do a lot of education with bear safety and how to be safe around a campfire.
Oh, wow.
And
Lynn,
handling emergencies.
Yeah. That seems like an amazing way of spending some time in your retirement.
It's been great. Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Lynn from Menlo Park. Maureen, a listener, writes in to say, just wanted to say that our family is trying what we see as a unique California vacation option, the family camp. We'll be spending a week at the City of Berkeley's Echo Lake Camp. Seems like an interesting and more affordable option to spend time in the Lake Tahoe area as a family of four. And Ashley Onadelli, you're a family travel advocate. Do you have other tips for families that might be traveling looking for lower cost options?
Absolutely. So definitely the points or miles route to kind of offset that money that's coming out of your pocket. I also recommend home rentals and apartment rentals, condo rentals. That's going to be your Airbnbs, VRBOs. That's going to require sometimes more of a deeper dive, a little bit more time to find the place that's right for your family, and is also cost effective. But in exchange, when you rent a home, you get a ton of space, possibly a backyard, a kitchen where you can cook your own meals. Because a lot of, at least for my budget, when I'm traveling and away from home, is feeding my family. So if we can go to the store and purchase some items for the week, and then we cook most of our meals at home, that's huge. I also find that that helps when we're traveling internationally, not just financially, but kind of to feel like we are not part of the bringing in a bunch of food from different places. We can shop locally when we travel that way. So that helps with cost. When it comes to like road trips, there's a lot of apps that help you save a little bit on gas. I currently use an app called Get Upside, which finds cents off per gallon in my area. Wherever I am, it uses my location. So those are my tips for families.
Oh man, that's great. We're talking about the summer travel season this year with Ashley Onadelli, a travel writer and family travel advocate with The Points Guide, Don Gilbertson, a travel columnist at The Wall Street Journal, and Janine Romo, a travel blogger and co-host of the Oh My Travel podcast. When we come back for the break, we're going to talk a little about the meaning of travel. Has the pandemic changed how you travel or what makes travel meaningful for you? You can give us a call, 866-733-6786. Also, Rick writes in, my wife and I are celebrating our 40th wedding anniversary with a road trip in October to Santa Barbara and Catalina Island, then later in the year, New Zealand. Congratulations, Rick. Congratulations to you and your wife. I'm Alexis Madrigal. Stay tuned for more after the break.
Support for Forum is sponsored by Stanford's Master of Liberal Arts program. Have you found yourself reflecting on your life and education? Perhaps you think it's too late or you're too busy to earn a master's degree. Stanford's part-time MLA program is designed for anyone, from recent college grads to retirees, who'd like to pursue an interdisciplinary course of study in the liberal arts. MLA students also enjoy access to the world-class facilities on the Stanford campus. Information session held May 16th. Learn more at mla.stanford.edu.
Welcome back to Forum. We're talking about the summer travel season this year with Don Gilbertson, travel columnist at The Wall Street Journal, Janine Romo, travel blogger, co-host of the Oh My Travel podcast, and Ashley Onadelli, a travel writer and family travel advocate. Wanted to ask the three of you, and maybe Janine, let's start with you. You know, since the start of the pandemic, has travel changed for you on sort of a philosophical level? Like, do you feel differently about the way you travel or its meaning to you?
I definitely feel different. I feel just so much more like just grateful to be in, to be able to travel in general. And I've always been, you know, grateful that I'm, you know, I have this privilege to travel. But I don't know, something changed after the pandemic, just, you know, and being able to, I'm feel lucky that I was quote unquote stuck in California because we do live in such a beautiful state. And I was able to explore, you know, the beautiful outdoors that we have here. I just, grateful is just the word that comes to mind.
Yeah. Ashley, how about you?
Yeah, we've definitely, sustainability has become my word of the year. And I'm very slowly teaching myself ways that we can be less impactful / more impactful when we travel. So we went to Hawaii earlier in the year, which is a hot topic. But we did a beach cleanup when we were there. And it's, we decided that it's going to be something we want to add as our part of our vacations as much as possible. So our kids learn that when we visit someone else's home, that it is a blessing, and it's something that a lot of people can't do, in that we need to treat their home the same way that we would treat our own. So it's made me more mindful when I'm visiting a place, instead of saying, oh, I want to see these places and I, it's more about, I think all of us as a whole, that's what we've learned during the pandemic.
You know, Don Gilbertson, I mean, you've been a travel writer for quite some time, you know, at USA Today and now at the Wall Street Journal. Did the pandemic change your view of travel at all, given that it was such a, you know, been such a part of your life for so long?
I think it did. I mean, it hasn't necessarily changed the way I've traveled, though, like Ashley just mentioned, I did go to Hawaii last summer for work, but I did learn there, you know, when you see travelers behaving in ways that you would never behave yourself. I mean, it just opens you up to how mindful you have to be about respecting the people who live there and not just going in as some entitled tourist. But I think I'm also very grateful. I mean, I've always been grateful to travel, but I'm particularly grateful now. You know, I spent the first 9 months of the pandemic holed up in a 500 square foot studio in Chicago. Mm. I had moved there, you know, my kids are grown. I had moved there thinking, okay, this is going to be a new chapter.
This will be fun.
Yeah, a new chapter. And, you know, I had a bunch of friends that were coming to visit. I had plans to, you know, travel that region, and, you know, everything. I didn't get to do any of it. I mean, right before I left, I did get to go to Grand Haven in Michigan, but beyond that, you know, I didn't get to experience what I'd hoped to experience. So now every trip, personal or professional, you know, is all the more sweeter.
Yeah. Let's bring in another caller, Tina from San Francisco. Welcome, Tina.
Hi, good to be with you.
Thanks for joining us.
I just wanted to pick up the thread. Thank you so much for doing this show. First off, I wanted to pick up the thread on slow travel. So I'm an environmental journalist. I'm also a senior fellow at UC Berkeley. And for two decades, my friends and I have been bike touring and bike camping. And during the pandemic, that was just fantastic because we were all outdoors, so it also felt safe. So nice idea for the slow travel.
Oh, man, Tina, wait, stay with us because I am so curious about this. How good do I have to be at biking to do bike touring?
Oh, that is a really great question. I just got that from somebody who was saying, aren't there a lot of hills on the West Coast? Somebody from the East Coast. I was like, yep, they're intense. We went last summer from San Francisco to Santa Cruz, and, you know, it's challenging. And, you know, in the last 20 years that we've done it, I've gotten older, and some of us have shifted to electric bikes. So that's, you know, an opportunity. But I say just take it one gear at a time. I mean, just, you know, cruise along and enjoy what you're seeing.
Yeah. I mean, I guess the other thing that worries me, having, you know, one of my favorite places in the world is the Sea Ranch up at the very north end of Sonoma County on the coast. And I'm always, when I'm passing bikers there along, you know, right along the coastal highway, I'm worried for their safety. Do you worry about it? And how do you manage that fear?
Yeah, that's a great question. We are concerned about that. We often take Coastal Highway 1 up or you know, going north or south. We wear really bright clothing. You know, we have the safety, you know, neon yellow with the big bright orange triangle on it. And then we have flags. And I think it's the people in the back who bring attention to the fact that there's a bike crew. The people in the front are safer. But I think all those colors that we wear help. And we're only out during the day.
Well, maybe someday I will get brave enough to do what you're doing. That's a great, great tip, though, Tina. Thank you so much. I'm going to go right to Angela in Kensington. Welcome to the show, Angela.
Hi, thank you. I just have a question. I'm missing my wonderful niece's wedding next week in North Carolina because I do not want to fly into North Carolina now that they've lifted the mask mandate. Mm. And I'm wondering if the airlines are considering offering mask-only flights. I would gladly pay a little bit extra to fly on a plane where everyone is wearing a mask. I flew back from Michigan last week after my mother had a fall. I had to fly, and it was pretty scary with people not wearing masks. So that's my question. I'm wondering
that's
if the airlines
are considering. That's interesting how the industry is responding to it. Thanks so much for that question, Angela. Don, are the airlines approaching masks? Are they talked about offering, you know, COVID cautious versus less flights?
Unfortunately, absolutely not. At least among the 10, you know, U.S. airlines that I cover the most closely, you know, and I, like the caller said, I flew this week and I've taken probably 4 flights in the last couple of weeks, and including from New York, you know, which like San Francisco has been very cautious. And I would say 1 out of 10 people were wearing a mask. So, I, you know, it's not like it's not discouraged, obviously, but it's certainly not required. And I don't see a move towards putting that mask mandate back unless some, you know, a federal ruling comes down again, unfortunately.
Yeah. Yep. Yep. Let's bring in Robin in Novato. Oh, Robin in Pacifica. Excuse me.
Oh. Hi, can you hear me?
Yeah, sure can, Robin.
Hi, thank you for the show. I appreciate the conversation. I'm totally zoned in on what you're discussing, and I would, as Californians, I would say try to find a wonderful place like you guys have been suggesting in California to vacation. I just came back from 3 weeks in Europe, and I am very, very grateful and very fortunate to make it back within the time frame and on my flights and stay within my group for the entire time because the country I came from, the BA2 at the time in April was running about 20%.
That is to say the Omicron variant, right? Yeah.
Yeah. We had to test every morning, to stay within our group. We masked, we wore KN95s and N95s. We did hand hygiene and did social distancing within our group. And my girlfriend and I that I traveled with, we both work in hospitals. So for us, this was just like work.
Mm.
But when we got off and we did the tours and in the group, it was an amazing trip. The company that we were with, the tour, it was fantastic. They did an amazing job to help us stay safe. Yeah. But every morning, it was a cruise on a river. Every morning there would be luggage off on the side of the dock, off the boat, and there would be people leaving because they tested positive the day before.
Oh, man.
And they would take them off. They'd take them off to a hotel. And once you're off your trip, and this is 3 weeks now, once you're off your trip, you're off your trip. They, wherever, whatever town we were in, city we were in, even major cities, smaller places, you'd go to a hotel. You would have to quarantine. You would stay there till you tested negative twice. And then you would bear the expense of your quarantine and the expense of renegotiating your flight back home. And believe me, we couldn't. Once we were over there, we realized the impact of what we were in the middle of. It was so important to not test positive.
Yeah, yeah,
so
I mean, the
give people a heads up.
Yeah, thank you, Robin. Really appreciate that, Robin in Pacifica. The high of being on a long European vacation, because you've never done that before, to the low of being stuck in like a budget motel awaiting your quarantine to end, or your isolation to end, actually. I can imagine that. That's tough. Want to bring in Anthony in Novato. Welcome, Anthony.
Hi there. Welcome. I mean, thank you. I'm planning a big one this year. I'm turning 60 on July 14th, and that's Bastille Day in France. So we're going to Paris. My wife and two adult kids and my brother and sister-in-law are joining as well. So it's the big one, and we're super excited. And then we're going to Venice and Florence as well.
Oh, man. And are you? How are you thinking about it? I mean, are you, if cases were to soar, would you still go?
That's a good question. Yes, is the first answer. You know, we'll do what we need to do on our end and wear masks. And I actually did buy travel insurance that does cover all of that, as well as medical insurance while we're there, just in case. So I feel like we're prepared, but, you know, fingers crossed, it is in the back of my mind, but I'm not really focusing on it. I'm really just focusing on looking at the great restaurants and the museums and all of that fun stuff. So that's my focus.
Hey, all right. I'll be rooting for you to be able to take the trip, Anthony, and happy future birthday. You know, Laura, listener writes, you know, is it safe to travel this summer to other states where rates are currently rising fast? We have two children, age 7 and 11, and one of us over 50. We're all vaccinated. However, our son has just been out of school for a week, sick with COVID symptoms, and this, along with high positive rates in the Berkeley schools, makes us somewhat hesitant to travel into other areas. And Martine writes, the pandemic helped me to discover so much more about where I live. I'm no longer interested in traveling much and am more invested in getting to know the depths and details of my home place in the Bay Area. It'll take a lifetime to understand and know the cultural and natural world here. And so I wanted to ask you, Janine Romo, what's a place close to where you live that you've decided, you know, this is that you discovered during this time?
Oh, wow. You know, I feel like I've just kind of rediscovered California in general. I spent so much time just slowly, you know, traveling around, you know, road tripping around California. I feel very fortunate that, you know, I was able to take that time and really rediscover where I'm from. So many places. I, you know, I went up to Redwoods National Park during a long road trip. And I mean, that's like almost touching Oregon, or I don't know if it does touch Oregon actually. But
it's up there.
You know, it's up there. And it was just, it was so magical. It was during the winter time and there were hardly any, you know, there were no crowds at all. There were people out, but no crowds at all. And it was just such a beautiful place, so serene. And that was one place that kind of stuck out.
Yeah. Ashley, how about you? Is there a place that you discovered or rediscovered near your home? Because you live here in the Bay Area.
Yeah, I, full disclosure, was absolutely that person who would travel across the country internationally and have people ask me, oh, have you been to so-and-so? When I would tell them where I was from. And I would say, no, I haven't been there. So since we've been kind of grounded, I would say we did Lake Tahoe. We're thinking about stay on like on the Russian River closer to home. Like I said, I mentioned Watsonville, getting to the beach there. Like we don't have to go to Mexico to go to the beach. And it's just kind of staying also within Livermore. I've only been here about 3 years, but I joke with my husband that I've decided to move in now. decided to explore like how beautiful it is. And like, you know, people are suggesting, oh, but this winery, you don't have to go to Napa for a winery, or, we have this national reserve area here, which I had no idea about. So yeah, I'm still finding out places that are closer to home that don't require a plane ride.
Yeah. I mean, I just want to chip in on this one for the Bay Area and near you. I mean, Briones, people on the show have probably already heard me shout out Briones. I apologize, but it's an amazing park, great place to run and hike and do all the things. And of course, Mount Diablo is this huge, massive, you know, natural area that you can, you know, have amazing views all over the bay. And you can really feel like wildernessy, so close by. Want to take one last call, Ruth in San Francisco. Welcome to the show.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for taking my call. for many, many years, when our kids were younger, the way we traveled was through home exchange. We still do it sometimes. In fact, we're going to do an exchange with people in San Luis Obispo in a couple of weeks. But when the kids were little, it was ideal because we would exchange with other families, often kids the same age. So you'd have books, you'd have toys, videos, you could cook at home. It made it affordable and also much more pleasant than being in a hotel.
Where's the best place you ever got to stay?
Well, there were quite a few of them in France. Which one was the best, but
and how do you find those? This has always been my question. I would love to do this. How do you find
homeexchange.com?
A very complex process called homeexchange.com.
Exactly. Yeah, no, it's basically you pay a pretty nominal fee, and then it's up to you to create a good site. If you don't put photos on, nobody's going to look. So
right.
you put photos of your place, you describe your place as detailed as you can, you know, not just how many bedrooms and bathrooms, but various amenities, you know, if it's an urban environment or you know, whatever
right,
it is.
Right.
And you say what you're looking for, and some people are just open to anything. I've had requests from, you name it, from Australia, from Ireland, from all over Europe, and you can be very specific with where you want to go, or you can kind of be open to anything. People say, well, how do you trust the people? And the way I describe it is it pretty much is one bourgeois family exchanging with another bourgeois family. So they want you to take care of their stuff, and you want them to take care of your stuff. And sure, you can put away things that you would be so upset if they broke. But honestly, if someone breaks a plate, I don't care. You know, I break a plate again.
There's always more plates in this world. Yeah.
Ruth,
thank you so much. A great tip. I have to get to this comment, which is just wonderful. Andrea writes, last July, I traveled to Guadalajara from Michigan to visit my mother. On a visit to Lake Chapala, I remembered how much I missed my home country. After 43 years of living in the U.S., I couldn't bring myself to leave. I'm renting a lovely apartment and becoming a part of the community. I walk, use public transportation or taxis, and move around. I've been procrastinating about going back to Michigan to take care of my belongings and selling my car, using my open-ended return ticket. As callers have mentioned, I have misgivings about the COVID surge. But wow, that's a fun stage of life. We've been talking about summer travel season this year with Dawn Gilbertson, travel columnist with The Wall Street Journal. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me. It's a great conversation.
Janine Romo, travel blogger and co-host of the Oh My Travel podcast. Thanks, Janine.
Thank you so much.
And Ashley Onadelli, travel writer, family travel advocate, The Points Guy, proud resident now of Livermore, California. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you so much.
This Hour of Form is produced by Ariana Prale. It's her last show this week. Blanca Torres, Grace Wan, and Cesar Saldana. Marlena Jackson-Rotondo is our engagement producer. Judy Campbell's lead producer. Susan Davis, senior producer. Our engineers are Danny Bringer, Katie McMurrin, Brendan Willard, Chris Hoff. Our interns are Jennifer Ng and Paul C. Kelly Campos. I'm Alexis Madrigal. Stay tuned for more Forum with Mina Kim.
Funds for the production of Forum are provided by the members of KQED Public Radio, the Germanicos Foundation, the Generosity Foundation, and the Heising-Simons Foundation.
Do you love your local bookstore? Well, I have the perfect event for you. This Saturday, April 27th, is Independent Bookstore Day. It's a day to celebrate your favorite local bookstore. I'm Olivia Allen Price, host of the Bay Curious podcast here at KQED, and I'm popping in to let you know that we will be hosting an event at Green Apple Books in San Francisco for the occasion. Come out for an author Q&A about the Bay Curious book. We'll be playing some Bay Area-themed trivia. There will be prizes and so much more. And the best part, tickets are donation-based, and all proceeds go to the Prisoners Literature Project. Learn more at kqed.org/live. I hope to see you there.
Take your Wi-Fi further with wall-to-wall Wi-Fi from Xfinity. With fast speeds and reliable coverage, home just got even sweeter with the Xfinity 10G network. Restrictions apply, not available in all areas. Actual speeds vary.